Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Just wanted to let you know that we will begin the call shortly. Thank you for your patience. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Floyd Mayweather conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, there will be an opportunity for questions and comments. Instructions will be given at that time. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference call over to host for today, Kelly Swanson. Kelly, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, operator. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we are joined today by Floyd Mayweather himself, eight-time five-division world champion, and Leonard Ellerbe, CEO of Mayweather Promotions. Before I introduce Leonard, who will introduce Floyd, I wanted to just do a couple notes. First of all, Floyd Mayweather is the face of boxing, and his face is actually on the cover of this week's ESPN The Magazine. That magazine is a special fight issue with half the magazine dedicated to The One, and that magazine will be on newsstands this Friday, so that's a great thing. Congratulations, Floyd. Also, for media, the media fight week schedule for the fight will be distributed tomorrow, if not Friday, and it will have all the information related to activities for the fight next week, starting with grand arrivals on Tuesday. I would just like to take this opportunity, because this is a big fight, to tell Floyd Mayweather that he has many times acknowledged my role in his career, and I want to tell him at this time that I appreciate him for affording me the opportunity to be part of his career and the Mayweather experience since 2005. His hard work and dedication to his craft and his perfectionism as an athlete and an individual challenges me and always challenges me to always stay positive and do the best job possible for him and the money team. So thank you very much, Floyd. I appreciate it. And now, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Leonard Ellerbe, CEO of Mayweather Promotions, to make the formal introduction. Leonard?
Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. The One, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us in on the call today. Mayweather versus Canelo, The One. This is, everyone knows this is the most anticipated fight in the history of the sport. And we have every indicator that this is going to be the biggest fight ever in the history of the sport. It started out, obviously, with our fight going on sale, the fight selling out in the first day, breaking Floyd's old record against De La Hoya, did $19.5 million at the gate. Next, when you look at the closed circuit, we opened up with 12,000 seats. We sold out of them. We opened up 13,000 more, and we're about to sell out of those. When you look at the closed circuit as it relates to the restaurants and bars, right now, currently, we're at 50% higher than we were at Floyd and De La Hoya in 07. As it relates to the movie theaters, tracking very well right now. Several of the movie theaters are sold out right now. The fight will be shown in over 542 theaters nationwide. And every indication we have thus far, we're going to do a big, big number there. When it comes to sponsor activation, this is the most activated event in the history of the sport. Corona, AT&T, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Valvoline, Mexican Tourism Board, Fred Lawyer Insurance, Nature Nutrition, and Bacardi Spirits. Tremendous support from our sponsors. As it relates to the fan participation, fans are trying to, the ticket demand is unbelievable at this point. When it comes to the interest as it relates to the advertising, we have the biggest advertising plan ever, a record number. As it relates to the cable and satellite telco business, it's at an all-time high. Showtime, CBS support has been phenomenal thus far. They rolled out every one of their assets, from the NFL on CBS to the college football on CBS, and you'll see that over the next week and a half. The promotion, it'll be everywhere. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce the eight-time world champion in five different weight classes, as we all know, the face of the sport, the highest-paid athlete in the sport, and the guy who makes this whole thing go, none other than Money Mayweather himself.
Hey, how y'all doing today? Thanks for having me. Thank you, Kelly, for the kind words. Thank you, Linda, for doing a tremendous job. You guys have worked, you know, day in and day out, you know, for me to be in the best position. And all, only thing we want to do, Mayweather Promotions, is continue to bring you guys the bigger than the best fights. I just want to thank everybody, you know, because without you guys and without the support and without the media outlets, you know, I don't know where my career would be. So I want to thank everybody, you know, that's on the line today.
Okay, great. Thank you, Floyd. Okay, Brusalda, go ahead and open it up and we'll start the questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. And our first question comes from Lem Satterfield with The Ring.
Hey, Floyd, how are you?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Listen, it's kind of a different question. You know, obviously, you know, your goal is to retire undefeated and have a Hall of Fame career, and you've also talked about the mark you want to make as a promoter and that you are making as a promoter. When you think about your career being done and your children and your legacy, what do you want to look back on and say you accomplished not only as an undefeated fighter, but the mark you left? What kind of things do you want to say? And then also, what do you look forward to in retirement, you know, spending time with your kids? Those types of things. Can you just kind of share that with us?
Well, as far as, you know, my children, the most important thing and the great thing about my career was I was able to put them in a comfortable environment. They're able to get a great education that I wasn't able to get. My family has been in a comfortable position for 17 years, so I mean that's a great thing. But the mark in the sport of boxing was that I brought the attention to the smaller guys. I transcended the sport and far as and just making smart moves, like, you know, getting the best so you can receive the best. Leaving my mark in the sport, far as cleaning the sport up, you know, just it's all about just giving the fans, you know, giving the fans excitement, but on like I said, on an even playing field, as far as random blood and urine testing, and that's not just in the sport of boxing, just in all sports, far when you're competing at the highest level, and not, you know, as far as neighborhood promotions, we don't want to stack our company with a ton of fighters. You know, every fighter that's under our banner, we cannot promise them that they will be world champions. You know, I think about that, you know, and I talk to fighters about that all the time. Only thing we can do is just keep our fingers crossed, and only thing Linda can do is do his job, and I play a major part, and just keep working hand-in-hand with the future fighters. That's what it's about. You know, the fighters, the present fighters and the future fighters, keep working with them and try to show them a way that I can hand my torch to them so they can take them to the next level. That's what it's about. You know, it's about, you know, helping these young fighters grow and taking things to their floor level.
Okay, and my last question is, when you look around at your team as it is right now with your father in your corner, Roger still there, and much of the turmoil, you know, with, you know, the jail sentence and all of that behind you, as you head into this fight, would you say that, how would you compare your level of contentment and happiness with how, you know, how things are around you right now heading into this fight?
I'm only human, you know. Some days are better than others. Some days I have good days. Some days I have bad days. But, you know, that's life. And the thing I, what I try to do is, what I constantly tell myself is this. Just like you smile on sunny days, you have to smile on rainy days. So, you know, that's what I constantly tell myself. You know, I'm happy to be working back with my father. And, of course, he's a perfectionist. I'm a perfectionist. No one is perfect, but we strive to be the best that we can be. And only thing I can do is try to become a better person each and every day. Each and every day I try to become a better person. Now, you know, I'm always, you know, my camp is great because there's so many positive people in our camp. And if they're not positive, we try to get those certain individuals from around us.
Lord, thanks a lot. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ben Thompson with FightHype.com.
Champ, how's it going, man?
What up, man? I know you ain't heard from me this whole camp, but I've been so focused. It has been one of my biggest fights.
Oh, you already know I know that, Champ. I'm going to be there this weekend, so, you know, I'll catch up with you then. But I just wanted to get a quick question in so that way I can get my name in the transcript when it comes out. But I was wondering, you actually say this a lot when it comes to your career, but, you know, looking back, you kind of came up the hard way, you know, during a time when those individuals that were at the top, you know, were a little reluctant or a little hesitant to give you an opportunity when, you know, you were saying you were ready for that opportunity. Ever since you've been on the top, though, you've kind of given a lot of these younger fighters that opportunity that, you know, some of those guys didn't want to give you. Being that you're in that position, do you think fighters today have it easier when it comes to getting that type of opportunity, you know, a shot at that top spot? Is it easier for them to get that opportunity these days? Yeah. Hello? I'm here.
No, hang on. I think we lost Floyd. Hang on one sec.
Oh, no sweat.
Floyd, if you can hear me, you might have to call back in. Lonnie, why don't you...
Hey, hello?
Oh, there you go. There he is. Thanks, Floyd.
It's okay. You need me to ask the question again, champ?
Please. The box.
Okay, no sweat. I was just asking, you know, when you came up during your career, you came up kind of the hard way. You know, those at the top didn't really want to give you, you know, the opportunity to face them when you were ready and when you were asking to face them. Ever since you've been at the top, though, you've been giving that type of opportunity to a lot of these younger fighters. Do you think it's easier in today's sport, like is it easier for those guys to get that opportunity at the top spot now compared to, you know, the way it was back when you were coming up?
I think he's transitioning into the boxing gym.
Yeah, he was headed to the gym.
I think it's just me. I'm starting to get my feelings hurt.
No, just, hold on.
I'm
I could
just
tell his phone was going in and out.
Yeah, I heard it too.
So just stand by. Sorry about that.
It's okay. Third time's a charm.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. What? What's up, Sam? Third time's the charm. You know, basically I was saying, you know, when you came up...
Hey, close the door.
We good? You ready, champ?
Stand by, Ben.
No sweat.
He gets back on, just let me make sure he's on, okay?
No sweat.
there, Kelly?
I don't know. He's in the boxing gym, so he's probably going to have to call back. I hope he has a number.
Yeah, he has it on his phone.
Yeah, now you're good. Okay, I'm
sorry. We good? Can I move forward?
Yeah, man, I'm sorry. Yeah, we connected.
It's all good, Champ. I'll get a lot more from you this weekend anyway. But no, I just wanted to ask, you know, I know you came up the hard way, you know, particularly when it came to, you know, the guys in the top positions, you know, being willing to give you the opportunity to face them. Ever since you've been at the top, though, you've been giving a lot of these younger guys that opportunity that wasn't afforded to you back in the day. I was just wondering, do you think it's easier today for these younger fighters to get that type of opportunity to fight the best, to get a shot at that top spot compared to, you know, when you were younger and coming up?
Of course, I feel this. I feel, you know, I didn't mean to cut you off, Ben. It's a lot easier now. I think the fight, you know, this boxing is tainted, it's watered down. Whereas, you know, I feel like it's too many belts, it's too many champions. You know, it's too, like I said before. I don't think I told you this, but it's so crazy how I beat Miguel Cotto, you know, for the WBA junior middleweight champion, right? So how did Austin Trout beat Cotto for the WBA championship? And how is Canelo the WBA champ? See, like I said before. These are things I just don't understand what's going on, you know, with the sport. I think we should have one belt, and you know, and that's it. I mean, because like I said before, the sport is just getting. I think the sport is real tainted now. It's not like it was before, where you got guys had to work their way from the bottom, you know, to the top. In today's time, you know, like I said, you know, when I was fighting. I wanted to fight Oscar De La Hoya way back when. I wanted to fight Oscar, you know, way back when. I couldn't get the fight. I couldn't get the fight until I was on my own, first, until I got my own company. I wanted to fight Miguel Cotto when he was undefeated. I couldn't get the fight. So, you know, it's not my fault that my career has went like it has went. But like I said before, I think my team done a tremendous job. They said, you know, sometimes, you know, they say, well, Floyd Mayweather, opponents was handpicked. And, I mean, that's a good thing. I want to commend Leonard and commend Al and thank both for putting me in a position to where if my career, if I did have an easy career and I made a lot of money, then I feel like my team has done their job. I mean, who wants to be in grueling rough fights for 44 grueling and rough fights? So I commend my team. You guys done a tremendous job, Leonard. You done a tremendous job. Because, you know, when I sit back and I just think about my career, I mean, I say, yo, you know what? I had a cool career. I didn't take any punishment. And if they say that my team, if they say these guys were handpicked, if they were handpicked to make 40 and 50 and 60 million, then, yo, you know what? Leonard, you've done your job. You've done a tremendous job. And if you've done that, keep doing the same thing. Keep handpicking them. If they're going to keep paying, keep handpicking them.
One last question on that note, Floyd. As far as these younger guys getting that opportunity to fight you, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing when they get that opportunity so quickly? As far as you know, when it comes to their hunger and things of that nature.
Well, you know, like it's so crazy. You know, me and Shane is 4 years apart. I think me and Shane is 4 years apart. So what's so crazy is, you know, I didn't fight Shane when he was 40. I fought Shane when he came off his biggest victory, you know, and you see, people seem to forget that, you know. I've never fought nobody for a vacant belt. Everybody I fought, I fought a champion, a guy that was champion. You know, and like I said before, I didn't fight a washed-up Baltimore. I fought a Baltimore when he was undisputed champion. So these are the things that I did in the sport. You know, like I said before, it's not my fault. It's about timing, and it's about having the right team. And that's what I got. I got the right team.
That's what's up. I appreciate that, champ. Hopefully I can catch up with you this weekend when I get to Vegas, man.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Dan Raphael with ESPN.
My team is getting...
Hello, Floyd.
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
I'm good, Floyd. One of the things I want to ask you about was is now that you've been through most of your training camp for this fight and it is your quickest turnaround between the May fight and now the September fight, I wondered, did you feel like you thought you would feel in terms of, you know, because you, as you talked about during the course of this promotion, you're a little bit older now, perhaps a little bit wiser. Was it okay physically for you to go through that, which you have not done for quite some time, having fights back-to-back, you know, with just 4 months in between?
I thought I was going to be kind of upset because I didn't get a chance to take a vacation. But actually, you know, this camp went great. You know, I was able to get right back into the groove, get right back in there. And actually, I was, you know, it was a good turnaround because, you know, I'm still sharp. I was able to be sharp. And this camp has been tremendous. You know, I've been getting good work, good solid work. No, I'm doing a conference call. I've been getting good solid work, and the young guys have been pushing me. So, you know, after this fight, I look to fight in May, and then fighting in September again.
So you feel like, from a physical point of view, these turnarounds after pretty much like a decade of not fighting this quickly between fights, it's okay. Yeah, you feel like it's, you know, you were against Guerrero, you'll be maybe even sharper against Canelo.
Well, thank you, but I wasn't impressed with my fight against Robert. It's probably because I took, you know, over a year off. But I think I'll be a lot sharper this fight, you know, because I got right back into groove. Like I said, we got a lot of young and up and coming talent, you know, in our boxing club that's pushing me to the limit and keeping me sharp. You know, I'm trying to outdo the young guys. So if everybody that's in the Mayweather Boxing Club is competing against each other to be the best, and the only thing that can do is make me better.
All right. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, and Leonard addressed it in his opening remarks, talking about the amount of closed-circuit tickets that have already been sold, the fact that their gate record's already been broken of all time that you did with Oscar in 07, and the fact that most people believe that this fight is going to be, you know, one of the top-selling pay-per-views in the history of the sport, you know, and some people think maybe it breaks the record that you set in 2007. And what I'm curious to hear from your point of view is, we know when Floyd Mayweather fights, it's a big fight, whoever it is. But I'm wondering, from your point of view, what do you think has made this one in particular even that much bigger than all of the other ones, except perhaps the fight you had with Oscar? Why is this one resonated the way that it seems to have?
I mean, I think probably because, you know, he knocked Baltimore out, and I went the distance with Baltimore. I mean, he's young, you know, and I've never seen two guys. I've never seen a guy. I've seen guys 22-0 versus a guy 25-0, then a guy 30-0 versus a guy 26-0, but you've never seen a guy 44-0 versus a guy 42-0. You know, like I said before, in Mexico, he's a young rock star, and he was able to, everybody that they put in front of him, he was able to go out there and do his job, and he done it in a tremendous fashion. And he's a good, strong, solid boxer. And, it's a very intriguing matchup. So, I mean, me not even being a boxing fan, I would want to see two undefeated fighters at the top compete against one another.
So you think that it's partly that, but you also think that my take on it may be that just in the sport, there's just been this major pent-up demand for a true super fight. You know, you've had lots of big fights, but maybe not a true super fight since you fought against Oscar. Is that part of the reason that people have decided, for whatever reason, that Canelo was a guy that, you know, they think might have a chance to take that zero from you, and for that reason, this is that big-time fight?
I think if me and Cotto had the same vehicle behind us when we faced each other, that fight would have been a lot bigger than it was. But like I said before, this is a very, very big fight. And I'm pushing myself to the limit right now. And like I said before, anything can happen. Any given Saturday, anything can happen. So I'm prepared for anything.
All right, Floyd, thank you very much. See you next week. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Robert Morales with Los Angeles Daily News.
Hey, Floyd, how's it going, man?
Hey, Robert, how you doing?
I'm good, man, I'm good. Hey, two quick questions. Is it just my imagination, or have you gotten a little bit more mellow as the years have gone by? You don't, and I mean that as a compliment, man. I just don't think you're, you know, talking as much trash as you did a few years ago. Are you mellowing with it?
Well, the thing is this. Everything was a business plan. My business plan was to be very, very entertaining, be very wild, turn it on when it's time to turn it on, turn it off when it's time to turn it off. And that's what I did. I built my fan base. I became a pay-per-view star. I became a household name. That was the ultimate goal. And it was just a business plan that I had. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing fake, but it's just you got to know, you know, when to turn it on and when to turn it off. And that's what I was talking about with this young fighter that's at my gym, Adrian Broney. You got to know when to turn it on and when to turn it off. And it's just business. It's about being entertaining. I feel like if I didn't step up to the plate and speak my mind or, you know, be flashy and flamboyant, then I probably wouldn't be in the position that I'm in right now. So I think, yeah, I mean, I think it's a gift. It can't be a curse because, you know, when you're in this position and you're at the top, and I had nothing but luck on my side. So, like I said before, it's been a gift. You know, my career.
Yeah, that's a really great answer. One last thing. Being that you do hold so many records and whatnot, I'm curious. This fight, most of us think, at least has the chance to approach the 2.5 million pay-per-view buys you did with De La Hoya. How important is it to you, Floyd? I mean, let me ask you a different way. How much would it mean to you to break that particular record? I mean, are those things important to you as well?
Well, it all depends. We still can break the record, and we don't have to do 2.5 because you got to realize this. That's been, you know, we're talking about financially wise because this is the reason why. I think when I was fighting Oscar, I can't remember what it cost exactly at that particular time because that was almost, could have been almost, I think that was 07. So, you know, this was 6 years ago. And, you know, of course, you know, the price of everything has went up. So the price of pay-per-view has went up. So we don't have to do exactly 2.5 to break the record financially wise.
Gotcha. Yeah, good point. Okay. All right, Floyd. Hey, good luck.
And Rob, touch on what he's saying. Obviously,
sure.
Speaking in terms of the growth, obviously in 07, you know, there was most homes were just standard definition, and obviously now when you look at the cable satellite systems, you know, about 80% of the homes are in HD now. So obviously with charging, you know, $64.95, you know, for the fight, you know, those things make a difference.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense. I hadn't even thought of that. That makes perfect sense.
I don't really care.
All right, guys. Hey, good luck, Floyd. I really appreciate your time, man.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Bob Vallon with USA Today.
Hey, Floyd. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you, how much does it mean to your legacy that your insistence on Olympic-style drug testing for fights has led to, you know, a different mindset in that area for a lot of fighters? Is that a big part of your legacy?
Well, you know, what's so crazy at first, it was like, you know, I think, you know, everybody was saying, oh, you know, Floyd was, you know, he's a chicken, he's scared. And I'm more like, I'm not being a chicken or I'm scared. All I'm saying is just be on an even playing field. I feel like if I can step up to the plate and I'm the best and I'm saying that, you know, I want to be tested, I feel like every athlete should say it, not just every boxer, every athlete that's competing at the highest level should want to be tested. If you're a real professional.
Do you feel that you were the guy who changed the sport a little bit?
Absolutely. I feel I was a pioneer at first. Now you hear every fighter saying, even like with the Timothy Bradley versus Marquez.
Mm-hmm.
Now Timothy Bradley is saying that he don't want to fight unless Marquez tests. So, you're constantly hearing that. I think Andre Berto was a fighter that also was saying that. I don't know. What fighter? I don't want to say it was Berto, but I don't know what guy was it exactly. But everybody now is saying, I want my opponent to test. The guy that I'm competing against, I want him to take a test.
Hmm.
So, like I said before, I started it off, and now, like I said before, it's then went everywhere.
Considering the magnitude of this fight card, do you think this stage might be too big for a 23-year-old kid who's never been on one this size?
Well, we just have to see. You know, I think it's a little different from fighting on Floyd Mayweather's undercard to fighting Floyd Mayweather. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot of pressure. And sometimes when it's pressure, a guy fights better. He competes better. So we don't really know. We have to see how the fight plays out. But hopefully the pressure and, you know, and everything that's surrounding the event makes him fight better. Because only thing I want to do is get the fans, you know, a good fight, a very, very exciting fight. So, you know, after this fight, I got four fights left. So, I'm not overlooking this guy. But like I said, I truly believe there's a lot of pressure on Canelo at this particular time, yes.
What are your thoughts on Kenny Bayless being named the referee?
I think I just found out about that today. I mean, Kenny Bayless is he's a great referee. He's fair. I mean, and I think he's gonna let us fight. A lot of times you got refs that's always breaking the action up, and Kenny Bayless is one guy. I mean, He's not for the bullshit. He likes to treat every fighter fair.
All right, Floyd. Thanks a lot, man. See you next week.
Thank you.
Take care.
Our next question comes from Steve Karp with Las Vegas Review.
Floyd, I was going to ask you about Kenny Bayless, but Bob Vilan beat me to it. What about the judges? Dave Moretti and C.J. Ross from Vegas and the guy from Canada. Comfortable with that?
I'm comfortable with whatever, you know. My job is just to go out there and compete, you know. It doesn't matter who's the judge. I just want to be treated fair, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like both fighters should be treated fair,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like they chose the right judges. I feel like they chose the right referee, and now it's time for me and Canelo to go out there and give you guys excitement.
Mm-hmm. Floyd, I have a question that I think you might have some fun with. I know you're a big sports fan. I don't know if you've watched the U.S. Open tennis tournament at all. What kind of tennis player do you think you would have been had you not been a boxer? And is there a tennis player out there competing today that you think might make a pretty good boxer?
I don't know. As far as tennis, I used to like John McEnroe. I used to
mm-hmm.
like John McEnroe. After John McEnroe, I started liking Pete Sampras. And then, but of course, Arthur Ashe is a legend. Of course, Arthur Ashe was a legend. His name will always live on. And, I didn't like him. As far as in Las Vegas, of course, you got to take your hat off to Andre Agassi.
Right.
That's Mr. Las Vegas, along with Wayne Newton and myself. I got to add myself in there, of course. Venus and Serena, man, unbelievable. And what's that girl, Jennifer Capriati? Capriati, I used to like her, too. She was young. She was a good player. So, yeah, and what's crazy right now is my Uncle Roger, his daughter, is playing tennis. And
really?
They talk about it in 6 years she should be a professional. So,
keep track of her.
Yes.
And so what kind of player do you think you would have been, Floyd?
What I've been doing lately, I've been betting on college football. So
If you guys tune into All Access this week of All Access will be the best, because last week I thought that was the best. But this week you guys get a chance to meet the females from the Money Team. So it's going to be an exciting show. So I want everybody to tune in to All Access this weekend. This is show number three of All Access, Mayweather versus Canelo. You guys cannot miss this week.
Yeah, Floyd, but the thing I want to ask you, though, is what kind of tennis player do you think you would have been? Could you have been a world-class tennis player? And is there a tennis player out there right now competing that could be a pretty good boxer? I'm thinking like a Nadal or somebody like that. Is there anybody out there that you think could be a pretty good professional boxer who's a world-class tennis player at the moment?
I haven't really been on tennis like that. You know, Lately I've been watching tennis. You know, I couldn't wait for that college football.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. I understand.
So, I haven't seen Venus in a while, but last time I checked, she's been dominating.
She is.
Heavy. And, of course, I'm always going to support Venus and Serena.
Yeah.
They're some pioneers, you know.
Yeah.
Icons and of course, future Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
So, but I can't really say at this particular time.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough. I'll see you on Tuesday.
See you.
Thanks, Floyd.
Our next question comes from Rene Rodriguez with the Record Newspaper.
This is Max.
Floyd, what's up? The Canelo. Do you have seven Mexicans in your record, Canelo?
No. What's
difficult for you?
You said it's not a bad thing. You know, Mayweather loves Mexico. Mayweather loves everybody. But I fought more than seven Mexican fighters. I mean, for the record. I mean, you talking about did I fight seven Mexican world champions? Is that what you said? Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Can you please run that question by me again?
Yes. Canelo can be the most difficult Mexican in your career.
I can't say if Canelo is the most difficult Mexican of my career because I haven't fought him yet, so I can't say that. I only can say that if I face the guy.
Wait, we can see more fights between you or Canelo in the future.
I don't understand. I don't understand. Please ask me that again.
Sir, can you ask the question again, please? Are you asking if there be another fight? Let's get through this one.
I have to get to the first fight first. How can I say I'm gonna fight him again if I haven't fought him once yet?
I can't hear you.
Okay.
I cannot say I'm gonna fight Canelo a second time. I haven't even fought him once yet. I have to fight him once first before I can fight him a second time. I have to get past one fight first.
Okay, let's move on.
Our next question comes from Marcos Ortiz with Primera Hora,
Puerto Rico.
Hey, how you doing, Floyd?
Hey, how you doing?
Nice to meet you. Last year, you had a tough fight with Miguel Cotto.
You didn't say that because you didn't get on. That's the first thing you don't get on the phone and say. You didn't say that because you're from Puerto Rico. Come on, man, cut the bullshit, man. Go to the kitchen, get the sharpest knife, and cut the bullshit out, man. Yeah, I'm past that. We talk about Canelo. Let's get to that.
No, that's okay. The question is about Canelo.
All right. Okay, we'll talk about Canelo. Don't talk about what I already took care of.
The question is about Canelo. That's okay.
Okay. Well, don't have fun talking about. Well, you had a tough fight because I already took care of that. I took care of that. That was easy work. Now let's go. He's on the phone because he's from Puerto Rico. Because I'm like, yeah, well, let me talk. No, don't try to hype no fighter up. I already took care of that. You already know. Hey, Angie, please, y'all know in there? Yeah, because it's her texting me right here. Go in there and check.
Yeah, what's going on, baby?
Can I make the
call? Hello? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Last week, Alvarez admitted that he had been watching footage of that fight that he had with Cotto. Can Alvarez take something about that fight that could make the difference in this one and you need to prepare for it?
What? Only thing he can learn from the Cotto fight is how to lose. If that's what he want to do, if he want to learn how to take a, if he want to learn how to lose.
Okay. That's your answer. That's okay.
Yeah, that's my answer. If he want to learn how to lose, he can go look at the Cotto fight.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
And our last question comes from Matt Beadle with the Zoo Magazine.
Thank you. Hi, Floyd. Greetings from across the pond. I just wanted to touch on the fact that a lot of English fans are coming out to see you in this fight, some even without tickets. What do you make of the fact that you've been taken to so well by the British public? Hello?
Hang on, he's probably not moving. One sec.
Okay.
His phone went dead, I think. What was your question, sir?
I wanted to ask him about the fact that a lot of English fans are going to be coming out to see the fight. Some are even coming without tickets. I wanted to know what his opinion was on the fact that he's been taken to so well by the British public.
Well, he takes great pride. I can answer that for him. His phone went dead. He takes great pride in his UK fans, obviously. And it goes back to 07, you know, when when Floyd fought Ricky Hatton, that the environment in the arena was something that we had never experienced before. And even up until this date, I think it was the rowdiest crowd. You know, the British fans are just phenomenal. And, you know, after the fight, when the fight was over, Floyd gave thanks to Ricky Hatton and talked about the tremendous fan support, you know, with the UK fans. And I think from that point on, there was a love affair, you know, and it started from there. And I think, you know, with each and every fight that Floyd has fought, his British fan base has grown even bigger and bigger. And he really, really appreciates the fan support because they are diehard fans. I mean, here it was that, you know, Ricky Hatton, with all due respect, you know, he took a beat down, and they were still cheering their guy on, singing the song. And, you know, they're just diehard fans. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why we signed a guy like Ashley Theopane, you know, because, like I said, Floyd has great love for his UK fans. And hopefully one day soon, we might make that trip over the pond.
Okay. I actually wanted to find out what it was that because Ashley Theophan actually said to us that he'd spoken to Floyd about Floyd thinking about moving over and looking at a place to live over here. I just kind of wanted to get his thoughts on our culture and what it was that he particularly liked about England itself.
Well, he obviously he has put some feelers out there with looking for a place, a vacation place, but obviously, you know, one of the things that, you know, we're from the business standpoint, we're looking to, you know, take a big event over there, and maybe in the near future.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much for your time.
Okay, thanks.
Our next
everybody.
Question.
Wait, Bruce, Alda, hang on. I think Floyd is. I'm on a check and see if Floyd's back on the line.
No, his phone went dead.
Okay, so everybody, I think we are going to
We have one more question in the queue, so why don't we ask that question, and Leonard could probably answer it, and then we're going to end this call. And I just want to remind everybody before we end the call that all of these events for next week, for Fight Week, are going to be streamed, and so you will be able to have the opportunity to hear more from Floyd Mayweather starting on Tuesday. We will have a transcript of this call available as well, but I think the answers that he gave to the meaningful questions that he was asked are very solid quotes that you'll enjoy using for your stories. So let's go with one more question, and then we will wrap. Go ahead, Griselda.
And that question comes from Eddie Goldman with No Holds Barred.
Thank you very much. Hi, Leonard. Are you still on the line?
Yep. Hey, Ed, how you doing?
Good, good, good to talk to you again. I want to ask you, pardon me, I want to ask you about Mayweather Promotions being part of this fight, which everyone is going to do huge on pay-per-view. It may even break all these records. What is the status now? Because we've seen a lot of other promotions. Where do you think Mayweather Promotions is compared to some of the other major boxing promotions today?
Well, I wouldn't compare our promotional company to any other company because we're not competing with anyone. As Drake says in his song, you know, we started from the bottom and now we're here. You know, obviously Mayweather Promotion has the biggest fighter in the sport. You know, we're with Floyd being the face of the company, we're able to attract all different types of talent. And we've been taking our time, working very, very slowly, but we're going to make a lot of noise here in the near future. A lot of noise. Currently, right now, I have 10 fighters that are signed to Mayweather Promotions, and seven of them are fighting on the card. We have seven of the eight fights, on 9/14. We have Badu Jack, who's fighting the co-feature on the Fox show. He's fighting Parabon. So, you know, we have a lot of young, good talent that, you know, they're on the rise. Obviously, we have Ishae and Ashley. Ishae with being a world champion, and Ashley fighting also on the card, opening up the pay-per-view portion. So, you know, we have a lot of good young talent, and, you know, we're taking our time, you know, with the right talent. It's about the quality, not the quantity. So we're going to take our time, and we're going to be a force to be reckoned with, you know, when the time is right.
Were you surprised at all on this conference call? There was very little discussion about what to expect in the ring itself between Floyd and Canelo. It was almost like there's a foregone conclusion that Floyd's going to win one way or another. Did that surprise you? There wasn't more technique talk from and questions about that?
Well, we don't get caught up in the aspect of, you know, what everyone else thinks. You know, that's up to the media and the fans. You know, from a preparation standpoint, you know, I personally know that, you know, Floyd is you know, he's preparing the same that he normally does for any fight, you know, and he's treating, you know, this fight accordingly. You know, in everyone else's eyes, they see that this is, you know, Floyd's biggest challenge to date. And come next Saturday, you know, the world will see. You know, we know what Canelo is bringing to the table. You know, we've done, you know, extensive homework on the young man. He's a tremendous fighter. He's fought some decent competition thus far, but fighting Floyd Mayweather is like night and day. Floyd, with all due respect to Austin Trout, in my eyes, who's the best fighter that he's fought to this date, Floyd Mayweather is head and shoulders above a guy like Austin Trout. So I think come next Saturday night, the young man, he'll be in for a rude awakening.
All right, thank you. Good luck to everybody. And remind him that I have a namesake that plays defensive line for Florida State. He's a sophomore, also named Eddie Goldman, no relation to me. So if you guys are watching college football, look for that name. He's going to be a big star someday.
Most definitely.
Okay, thank you. And tell Floyd good luck, too.
Okay, great, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us, Leonard. Thank you so much. And we will, again, send out all the information about Fight Week very shortly and look forward to seeing your coverage. Appreciate it. Good night.
Thank you for joining us today. That concludes today's conference call.